We're seeing from the Word of God, and really the emphasis has been, or going to be, in the book of John. We're seeing some statements that Jesus Christ makes about himself. In these statements, we're able to see the person and the work of Christ. The person is that he's the Son of God. The work, of course, is he has come down from heaven to give life. This morning we see the statement as Jesus Christ calls himself, he says, Jesus said, he is the bread of life. And may we see our Savior this morning as the bread which came down from heaven to bring eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning and the opportunity to sing praises to Jesus Christ, to worship you in all of the different aspects of a service. We pray right now, Lord, that we will worship you through the response to your word as we respond to the truth that we see about Jesus. Lord, we thank you that he indeed is the Son of God who came to this earth to be the bread of life, to give eternal life to all who believe. Lord, we ask you now that as we look through this passage that you might teach us, and then we in turn might make application. We ask all of this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You know, there's a lot of discussion going on today, especially in the counseling circle end of it, concerning what we call felt needs and real needs. You know, felt needs are those needs that people think that they have, they know about. You know, they think that they know and they sense them. While a real need is a need that a person has whether they actually know it or not. Let me give you an idea. What is a felt need? A felt need is what a person thinks they have, whether it's they want a job or security or friendship or money or happiness. That is something that they feel that they need. And there are many felt needs. But however, in truth, there is a real need that everybody has whether they know it or not. And that real need is a relationship with their Creator. A relationship with God through Jesus Christ, because all people are separated. Because we've sinned and come short of the glory of God, we are separated from the Father. And whether people know it or not, and whether people realize their need or not, they need a relationship with the Creator. Let me ask you a question. What are your felt needs? What are your real needs? This morning, we're going to see Jesus in his interaction with the crowds. I mean, the crowds are following him everywhere. We're in John chapter 6. They've come to see him. They've come to hear him teach. They've come to get food. They've come, and he tries to move these crowd of people from their felt need to their real needs. See, their felt need is food, bread, something to eat. Their real need is the bread of life, Jesus Christ. This morning, we see the first of Jesus Christ's I am statements. Jesus Christ says, I am the bread of life. As we dig into the study, we'll see what Jesus says about himself. Let's get a quick review for just a second. Last time, we began by looking at the prologue of John. John 1, 1 through 18, where we saw what John said about Jesus. He said Jesus was the God-man who was the Creator, the Redeemer, the one who came from heaven to reveal the Father. We then went to the Old Testament to see the statements on I am, because we realized that just by the statement I am meant something special. In fact, as we went back to the Old Testament, we realized that the name or the title I am is the name of God. When Moses saw God in the burning bush, God said, tell him the I am has sent you. I am who I am. And it came from the Hebrew, the word Hayah and Yahweh, which means that it's the personal name for God in the Old Testament, the unchanging, everlasting God. We saw that Jesus Christ used this name for himself. If you remember last week, we looked at John 8, where Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And they picked up stones as if to kill him because they knew that he was claiming to be God. From the book of John, we will see seven statements, seven I am statements that Jesus Christ makes known or declares who he is. Look at your insert just for a second. It's really not an insert. It's on the inside of your bulletin. You see the seven I am statements of Christ. We'll begin this evening or this morning John chapter 6, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And in the weeks to come, we'll hit these others. Jesus is the light of the world, the door of the sheep, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life. And then finally in John 15, the true vine. We will see those in the weeks to come. Some weeks will take two at a time. Some will take one. This morning, we're going to see his first statement, I am the bread of life. John chapter 6 is a long chapter. In fact, if you look at it, it starts verse 1 and goes all the way to verse 71. We will go through the chapter, but we will not hit all of the verses. We're going to hit some of the high parts. Let me break the passage down for you, okay? First of all, we're going to look at verses 1 through 14. Here's the background of the whole thing. We see Jesus feeding the 5,000. One of the greatest miracles in the whole Bible, 5,000 people are fed by five loaves and two fishes. There is their felt need. They have the need to eat, and they feel it. And then we go in verses 26 through 31 where Jesus Christ begins to talk to them about the true bread. He talks about the Old Testament manna, but he says there's a true manna, a true bread. It's better than plain bread. And they begin to want this bread because he says this bread gives life. And they ask him for the bread. And then in verses 35 through 51, we see Jesus Christ declares he is the bread of life. And there's a contrast between Jesus as the true bread and manna as just the bread that you eat. And he says this is the bread that gives eternal life. And then finally we'll look at 52 through 59. For Jesus says, you must partake of the bread of life to have eternal life. And he tells them to do that. We see he moves them from the felt need to the real need. See, they come and they say, we want something to eat. He says, you need more than just plain bread. You need bread that gives life. And they said, hey, we like this bread. And he says, I am the bread, and you must partake. You know, the same thing happens for us. There are a lot of felt needs that we have. But in each one of us, whether we realize it or not, we have the need to have a relationship with God, our Creator. And there are times that God brings us to Himself. He takes us from our felt needs to our real need as we understand that Jesus died and rose again for us, paying for our sins, and we trust Him as Savior. Let's get to the background. As we begin in John chapter 6, we're going to see that Jesus declares He is the bread of life. It's a very famous event we're going to see to begin with. It's feeding the 5,000. In fact, it's the only miracle that Jesus did that is in all four of the Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000. We see their felt need. They're hungry. They want something to eat. Jesus sees the crowd there. He turns to one of his men and he says, hey, Philip, how about let's figure out how we're going to get food for these people. They're hungry. And they would have said, are you guys hungry? Yeah, we're hungry. That was their felt need. Look at John chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. It says, now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. It was in springtime. Do you realize that the time this event takes place is about the same time we are now? Maybe a little bit, maybe 2 to 3 weeks from now would be the time that they are. And it says that Jesus therefore lifted up his eyes, and he seeing this great multitude was coming to him. And he said to Philip, Philip, where are we going to buy bread that these may eat? Now they're in the northern part of Israel, around the Sea of Galilee. And there are not a lot of stores there. They're out really in what we'd call a wilderness area. And all the crowd is beginning to come to Jesus. And Jesus turns to his good man, Philip, and says, Philip, where are we going to go buy food for all these people? And Philip realized that that was a lot of people. And they didn't have that kind of food. They didn't have that kind of money. In fact, verse 7, Philip answered him and said, well, 200 denarii would be worth of bread is not even sufficient for them for everyone to receive a little. He said, listen, if we had 200 denarii, which is about 8 months' salary, listen, if I had enough money that if I worked for 8 months and had saved every bit of it, that wouldn't even be enough money to buy enough bread for everybody just to have a little bitty bite. I mean, Philip says, I mean, even if there was a store here, we couldn't buy it. We don't have the kind of money. We realize as we remember the story that a little guy there had 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Now, when you think a loaf of bread, don't think like Wonder Bread, okay, long this one. We're talking about a little piece of bread about that big. Little pieces of bread, that was the loaf. That's what they called it. He had 5 little pieces of bread, 2 little fish. It was his meal. And they find it and they said, here, what about this, Jesus? Look what Jesus does in verse 11. Jesus therefore took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish as much as they wanted. Now before we talk about that verse, Jesus then told everybody, go ahead and sit down. And they began to sit down in groups. And it says that there were 5,000 men. Now we always say it's feeding the 5,000, but it's much more than that. It wasn't counting any of the women or the children. In fact, low estimates would be 15,000 people. He told him to sit down, and he took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. Now, I want you to understand that from that little thing of food, Jesus began to say, John, you go over there. Peter, take it some over there. Philip, you take it to that group right over there. And they begin to go. And they didn't say to those people, listen, just one. Wait a minute, we got to make sure everybody gets one. Just take one. If there's seconds, we'll let you know. they said, get what you want. And some people were raking that stuff off. Do you realize there were some of those people that probably in their whole life had never eaten as much as they wanted? And they said, here, you want some? Here, eat. Get some more. You want some more? We'll make more. And they kept going back and forth, and the people ate, and they ate, and they ate. And it says in verse 12, and when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. Listen, we got some left over. Go back, take some baskets, and go pick it up. And it says they gathered them up, and they filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Now listen, you remember the stories, you've seen movies where they had this donkey, and on one side of the donkey there's this giant big-looking basket, and on the other side there's this big-looking basket. That's the basket. That's the Greek word for the basket. We're not talking about a little bitty basket of bread. They had 12 of these giant baskets left over full of bread from handing it out to the people. Everybody ate all they wanted. And you can imagine they're saying, this is incredible. This guy is feeding us. And in verse 14, their response, when therefore the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, this is of a truth the prophet who was coming to the world. This is fantastic. This guy's a prophet. He can just give us all his food. They saw his sign. Now I want to stop here and talk for a minute about the signs. Why did Jesus do these signs? Why did Jesus, as the book of John says, records at least 7 miracles that he did, the walking on the water and the changing the water to wine and feeding the 5,000 and all these things. These were signs so that people might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing they might have eternal life. That's John 20, 30 and 31. But that's why he did the miracles. In fact, throughout all of the Gospels, whether he was healing people or raising people from the dead, giving them food to eat, walking on the water, calming the storm, the only reason he did those signs and miracles was to point out that he indeed is the Messiah. That's why he did them. His purpose was not to come and to heal, but when they saw those signs, they were to say, he is the Messiah. Because see, Isaiah said that when the Messiah came, the blind would be able to see, and the lame would be able to walk, and the deaf would be able to hear, and the gospel would be preached, and all these things would be happening. And all Jesus, by doing the miracles, was to say, make sure you don't miss it, I am the Messiah. And they missed it. Because they began to look at him, and they saw, man, this guy can feed us. See, Jesus did not come to heal and defeat. If he did, he failed. Because even when Jesus was on the earth, not everybody was healed and not everybody was fed. His purpose was not to heal and not to feed. It was to die on the cross to pay for our sins. All those miracles were to point that he is the Messiah. They were the signs. They were seeing him in the wrong way. All these people began to look around and they said, you know, this guy can feed you anytime, anytime. And not only that, I bet you if you get sick, he can heal you too. And I tell you what, because I've heard he's been doing it. And you know what? I guarantee you, in his power, we don't have to be under these Romans anymore. In fact, we can run them right out of our country. We're tired of them being in our country anyway. And they begin to look at Jesus in the wrong way. Instead of seeing him as the Messiah who has come to die and to pay for their sin, they saw him as the guy that maybe can get rid of those Romans and make sure they're never going to be hungry again and make sure they're not going to be sick again. And they missed it. They're still seeing their felt needs. I'm hungry. I want security. I want to be healthy. Now, as we continue in this passage, I want you to see how Jesus begins to move these people from their felt need, the felt need of wanting food, to their real need of needing the bread of life, Jesus Christ. It says in verse 22 that the next day, after he fed them that day, the next day crowds come back again. See, I want you to realize that as we see this passage, they didn't get it. You can almost see him saying, if this guy is our king. In fact, that's what verse 14 said. They were going to make him king. But see, for the wrong reason. Not king because he's the Messiah and Savior, but because he can give them food, he can heal them, he can get them clothes, and he can run the Romans out. Wrong reasons. The next day they come to Jesus, and I want you to see what he says to them. Verse 26. In fact, they ask him a question. Hey, how'd you get here? Because he's passed on the other side of the Sea of Galilee now. And Jesus answered and said to them in verse 26, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and you were filled. And they come to Jesus and he says, listen, you guys are, you're following me around not because you saw the signs and you said, this guy's the Messiah, the Savior of the world. No, you're following me because you're saying, this guy can feed us. Listen, if we get hungry, just hang around long enough and he'll hand out food. They were looking at the physical. Jesus says, you're looking at the food that I gave you instead of the one who gave the food. They're seeing the miracle and missing the point of the miracle. They're seeing everything from the temple. He wanted them to move past their physical needs and see their spiritual needs, the true bread. Their need was not for temporary food, but for the true bread that lasts forever. B.F. Westcott said they failed to learn the lesson that Jesus Christ was wanting to relieve the hunger of their souls and not just their bellies. They were coming to Jesus because they wanted something to eat. Let me tell you, there have been people that come to our church, and the reason they came was to get money. We've had a service at times that at the very end, I'll meet somebody, and the first question, I'm not exaggerating, the very first question they ask me, I'll say, hey, I'm glad you're here. Is this your first time? Yes, we were just wondering, would there be any way that you could get us some money? First question. There are some people that come to what we would call the church, and they're not coming for Jesus. They're coming for the money. I've checked around some people and called another church, and they say, oh, yeah, that same couple was here last week, and they got money from us, too. And that's what this crowd was doing. They were coming to Jesus not because they thought he was the Messiah. They were coming to Jesus because he would feed them. And Jesus says, truly I say to you, verse 26, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and you were filled. And now he's going to take them past this temporary thing. And he says, listen, go after something better than a piece of bread. In verse 27, he says, do not work, do not strive for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For on him, the Father, even God, has set his seal. And he says this, listen, you guys, don't be striving after this piece of bread. It's temporary, it perishes. But for the food, the piece of bread that endures to eternal life, even the Son of Man is going to give it to you. Because see, the Father has put his seal on me. See, the seal was the miracles. He said, listen, don't go after a piece of bread that's going to be here today and gone tomorrow. It'll only do you good enough as it goes through your system. Look, you want the bread that brings eternal life. You're going after the temporary. What I give you is eternal. Now, they think, that's not a bad idea. So they said, well, how do we get this kind of bread? Verse 28, and they said to him, well, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? I mean, this is bread from God, and you're giving it. What do we do? And look what he says in verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. This is what you do. That you believe in him whom he has sent. You believe the one God has sent. And that's Jesus. You believe in me is what Jesus is saying. Believe in Jesus Christ. It is not works. It is not by your goodness. It is simply by faith. And guess what? They don't get it. See, when he starts talking about bread that gives life, they can't picture that it's him that he's talking about. Even though he said, what you do is you believe in me, the one God has sent. In fact, when they start thinking about special bread, the only bread they can think about is the bread that they remember a long time ago that is written in their word. It's called manna. I mean, that was special bread. That was bread that God gave them when they were in the wilderness. And the children of Israel walk out in the morning and there's bread on the ground. And when Jesus is talking about this bread that gives eternal life, they go, Is he talking about manna? What's he talking about? Jesus said, I'm talking about me, but they've missed it. And look at the question that they raise in verse 31. Our fathers, they raised the question about manna. They said, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. And they're really saying, is this the bread you're talking about? I mean, we know about manna. I want you to see the manna. I want you to turn back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 16. Where we see this story that they say. In fact, that's where the quote is from, Exodus 16:4. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. Now, while you're turning there, I want you to realize what's happened. Jesus is trying to move them from their felt need, food, to their real need, himself. And he says, you guys are working for the only reason you're here is because you got food yesterday. But listen, you don't have to be here for that. Listen, there is something that gives you, there's some bread that gives you life forever. And they said, well, we want that bread. And he says, how do we get that kind of bread? What do we do? He says, believe in the one God has sent. And they said, is he talking about manna? What's he talking about? Well, you know, we got manna in the wilderness. Remember? Old Testament, Exodus 16, about verse 4. And let's look at this manna. Chapter 16, verse 4 of Exodus. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they are not will walk in my instruction. And it'll come about on the sixth day when they prepare what they bring in. There'll be twice as much as they gather daily. Now let me tell you, this whole thing was a test. God says, I want to see if you will trust me. Now here's what I'm going to do for you. You've asked for food. Every morning, you'll go out in the morning and there'll be this stuff on the ground. We're going to see how it's described in a minute. And that's bread. I want you to get it. And I want you to trust me that every day it'll be there. So what I want you to do is when you go out, get enough for that day. If you get more than that, it won't work. And a lot of them went out and they picked up the manna and they said, you know, what if it's not here tomorrow? So we better get two things of manna. And they got two things and they would go in and the next morning when they would wake up, it would be full of worms. And they couldn't eat it. And they didn't trust God. They had to go out and believe that every morning it would be there. Now then he told them something. He said, you know, you remember Saturday, Sabbath? That's my rest day. And that's your rest day. So I don't want you going out and gathering up manna on that day. So here's what you do. You gather on Friday, get two things of manna, and you got to trust me that it won't have worms in it on Saturday. And guess what? They would go out on Friday, they'd get two loads of it, they'd bring it in, and guess what? On Saturday, no worms. And they had to trust God. And that was that bread that came down from heaven that they're mentioning to Jesus. Now look at verse 13 of Exodus 16. So it came about at evening that the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was this layer of dew around the camp. Now watch what happens. When the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness, there was a fine flake-like thing, fine as the frost on the ground. Listen, it's so hard to describe this stuff, even the Bible calls it, well, it's a flake-like thing. That's manna. Now watch what happened when the people went out. When the sons of Israel saw it, verse 15, they said one to another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is bread which the Lord has given to you to eat. Now you can see them going out going, what is that? What is it? By the way, you know what the Hebrew word for what is it is? Manna. They went, manna. 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 Let's call it manna. Yeah, okay. What is it? What is it? I don't. Let's eat it. What are you eating? What is it? That's what they call it. What is it? This is the bread. Now turn back to John 6. And this is what they're talking about with Jesus. They're saying, hey, oh, are you talking about that bread that God gave us in the morning? I mean, that everybody went out and they went, what is it? It was bread, I guess, from heaven. Is that what you're talking about? And they're sort of mixed up because that's not what he's talking about. And look what he says in verse 32, John 6, 32. Jesus therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. Now, first of all, he said, truly, truly. You see that all the time. It comes from the Greek word amen, which comes from the Hebrew word amen, which means truth. And so when you say amen, you're saying that's true. When you end your prayer and you say, in Jesus' name, amen, you're saying what I just said was true. And Jesus says, amen, amen, true, true, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven. It's my Father. But notice what he says. But it is my Father who gives you the true bread, in its present tense, literally, who is giving you the true bread. He's saying, listen, that was back in the Old Testament. That was bread they needed just for their bellies. Listen, it is my Father who right now is giving you the true bread. And so he wants them to realize there's a true bread. And he goes on to explain. He says, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. So he's talking about himself. They ain't got it yet. He says, we're talking about a different kind of bread. We're not talking about manna. We're talking about the bread that God gives, the bread that came down from heaven and gives life. And Jesus is talking about himself because he is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. He is God who left the glories of heaven to become a man, and he gives life. Jesus is not talking about the bread he fed him with yesterday, and he's not talking about the man in the wilderness, but he's talking about the true bread that gives life, and that is himself. And he's trying to move them from this old temporal piece of bread to himself as the eternal bread. And they finally see something and they want it. And look what they say in verse 34. And they said to him, Lord, give us this bread. They don't know it's him. They hadn't put it all together yet. So he didn't want them to miss it. So he says in verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. This is the first of the I am statements. Jesus says, I am, he's God, the bread of life. See, they're saying, we want this kind of bread that gives us life. And he says, that's me. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me no longer will be hungry. He who comes to me no longer will thirst. As Merrill Tenney says, Jesus Christ claims to be the only permanent satisfaction to the human desire for life. He's the one. He says, I'm the bread of life. If you come to me, you won't ever be hungry. If you believe in me, you'll never thirst. And that's what he's saying. You got to believe in Jesus Christ. You got to believe he is your Savior and the Messiah. He wants to make sure they understand, because they still hadn't got it. So look what he says in verse 38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Remember a while ago he said, it's the bread that comes down out of heaven that the Father gives. And he says, I'm the one. I'm the bread that's come down from heaven. I am the bread of life. I have come not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent him. What was Jesus' will? I want you to see it. Verse 39, he tells us what his will was to do, what God's will for him was to do, and is this. This is the will of him who sent me, that all that God has given to me, I will lose nothing, but I will raise it up on the last day. Jesus' purpose when he came to this earth was to do the will of the Father, and that was all the ones that the Father had given. He would not lose them. He would save them. He would keep them eternal and safe, and he would raise them up on the last day. That was his will. This is the will of the Father. He sent me down here to do this. But verse 40 tells what our will is, what God's will for me and you. Look what he says in verse 40. But this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Jesus said, now you know, the will for the Father for me was to come and do that, but the will of the Father for you is to see the Son and believe in him, and when you do that, you have eternal life, and I, Jesus, will raise you up on the last day. He said, the will of the Father for each of us is to believe in Jesus Christ, and he gives eternal life. It's by faith. It's a very powerful message. There's a lot of confusion today because, see, the key is the faith in Jesus Christ. Faith's not the key. The object is the key. Vance Hadner used to say that faith has no value in itself. And it's true. It's the object of your faith. People say, just believe. Just believe what? There must be the object to your faith. Faith does not save you. Jesus Christ saves you. You put your faith in him, not in faith. And Jesus said, if you will believe, you have eternal life. Whosoever believes in the Son of God has life, and he himself will raise him up. In the miracle on 34th Street, if you remember, Santa Claus is there, and he is giving the world's definition of faith. And he says, faith is believing in things when common sense tells you not to. In other words, faith is irrational. That's not the biblical view of faith. The biblical view of faith is taking God at his word. Faith is always, has an object. It is always based on the truth. When people say, all you have to do is just have faith, I always say, faith in what? Faith in Buddha? Muhammad? Yourself? Your good works, your baptism, your church? No, it is faith in Christ and in him alone. That's how you're saved. And in John 6:40, he says, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and then believes in him has eternal life. You see, they've come for physical food. And he says, no, don't come for the physical food. That's just temporary, but look for the food that's eternal. And they said, is that the manna? He says, no, it's special. And they said, well, we'd like to have that. And he said, okay. I'm the bread of life. and you must come to me by faith. Look at verse 47. Amen, amen. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life, life that lasts forever. It's faith. Verse 48, he says it again, I am the bread of life. Literally in the Greek, if you wanted to translate it this way, you could say, I am the bread which brings life. That's what he means by it. And in verse 49 and 50, he gives the contrast. In 49, he says, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. Listen, they ate the stuff that came down and you saw it right there and you ate it. But that was bread and that was temporary. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that you may eat of it and not die. This is the bread that gives eternal life. God sent his Son as the bread to come, and whosoever will take of the bread will have life. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world, he gave his Son, he left the glories of heaven, that whosoever would believe in him would take of the bread of Christ, would not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus makes it clear in verse 51. He says, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of this world, it is my flesh. He says, I'm the living bread. As Harry Ironside said, he didn't say, I've come to give you living bread. He says, I am the living bread. If you eat, you will live forever. And the bread is his flesh. He refers to him giving his life. As F.F. Bruce said, that this can mean nothing other than the fact that he's going to die on the cross and offer up his life. Leon Morris said this is his flesh. The flesh that he talks about is his sacrifice, his death for us. See, he indeed is the bread of life. He is the one that offered himself as the final sacrifice for sin forever. He laid down his life. He bore in his own body our sins. He is the satisfactory payment not for our sins only, but for the whole world. He is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's all of those. The bread of life. That whoever partakes of him has eternal life. They don't get it. He's told them, don't come after regular bread. Come after bread that gives you life. And they said, well, all right, what about this kind of bread? Is it manna? No, it's not manna. Because they ate manna and they still died. We're talking about a lie, a bread that when you eat, you live forever. And they said, we want this bread. And he said, I'm the bread. And they still hadn't got it. In fact, look at verse 52. The Jews therefore began to argue with one another and they said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They don't understand. He's saying, you got to believe in me. That's to take his flesh. And look what Jesus says, 53. Jesus said, therefore, to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. See, in the context, to eat and to drink is to believe. He said it four or five times, you must believe to have eternal life. Now he's saying you must eat to have eternal life, you must drink. And I think it's a foreshadow of what he's going to say in John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Because in those chapters he says, this bread, it's my body. Eat it. This juice, it's my blood. Drink it. You must eat. You must partake of Jesus Christ. You must believe in him to have eternal life. He makes it clear again in verse 58. He says, this is the bread. Talking about himself. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate, not just plain old manna, and they died. But he who eats this bread shall live forever. Incredible passage. Incredible teaching to a group of people who wanted food, and he takes them from food to eternal food, the eternal life found in Christ. Verse 59, it says, these things he taught in the synagogue. Let me tell you what happened. Some of those people looked at him and they said, I don't get that. And they left. And it said that many of those people who had been following him because of these hard statements about eating him and drinking him, meaning to trust in him and him alone as the true bread, as the living bread, because of those statements, it said many quit following him. And when they went away, Jesus looked over at his men, he looked at Peter and he said, are you guys going to leave too? And Peter said, we can't leave you. Have the words of life. Jesus Christ. That's his teaching. He offered himself to them as the bread of life that will give eternal life to anyone who will believe. He fed the 5,000, the 15,000. And they wanted food. They missed the signs and they wanted the food and they kept coming to him to feed him. And he said, you come for the wrong reason. Why don't you come for the good bread? The bread that gives eternal life. And they said, well, is this this manna? And he said, no, it's not manna. Well, they said, well, then give us this true bread. And he said, I am the bread of life. Whoever will believe in me will have eternal life. And he told them they must partake. And that's to believe. This morning, I want you to see Jesus Christ as the bread of life. The one from heaven. The one who came down. And a lot of times we think of Jesus as always providing our physical needs. And he will, as Philippians 4 says. But I want you to also see him as the spiritual bread of life to give eternal life. Now let me raise two questions. And the first one is this. Are you missing the bread that counts? Have you come to the bread that gives eternal life? There may be some of you this morning that have never understood what Jesus meant when he says the bread of life. You may have never understood this. You may have thought and still thinking that your goodness, your church membership, your baptism, things that you've done, things that you're going to do, things that you're trying to do, somehow this will get you to God. And Jesus Christ says, no, all that's temporary. I'm the bread of life. It gives eternal life. I want you to stop and think about eternity because so many of us are tied up in the temporal things of life that we miss the one who gives eternal life. Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life, and he'll say that in John 14. And he is the way. No other one can come to the Father except through him. If you're here this morning without Christ, this is an invitation for you right now. An invitation to put your faith in the bread of life, the bread which brings life, Jesus Christ. Trust him right now. Many of us, in fact, I would hope that every one of us in this room already know Christ as Savior. But let me raise the same question to us. Are we missing the bread that counts? See, we've come to Christ as our Savior, but we get so tied up in all the temporal things of life that we don't spend time and continue feasting from the bread of life, Jesus Christ. We must spend time with him. We must know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. We must spend time with him. And sometimes we let all of the things in this life push us away from the one who gives eternal life. My prayer for each of us that know Jesus is that we will feast every day on the bread of life. There's another question for us, for all of us who are believers, and that is, do we realize what we have in Christ? I mean, you have eternal life. Let me explain to you, and I know most of you know this, but you know, eternal life doesn't just mean you're going to live forever. Everybody's going to live forever. Jesus Christ has died on the cross and paid for sin, and he has conquered death, as the 1 Corinthians tells us. Everyone will come back from the dead. Some will live forever with Christ. That's called eternal life. Some will live forever separated from Christ. That's called the second death, or it's also called the lake of fire. With Jesus Christ, you and I have eternal life. We will live with him forever. Not only that, he promises us in Philippians 4:19 that he will give us whatever we need every time. He is the bread of life, and that's why we can pray, give us this day our daily bread. But not only that, a thing in the passage that I didn't go into a lot of detail on is he says, and I will raise them up on the last day. Resurrection. The greatest fear of men, according to the book of the Bible, is the fear of death. Corinthians says, death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? It's gone. But thanks be to God through the victory we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. What we have in Jesus is eternal life, provisions, and resurrection. May we see Jesus Christ as the bread of life. The food that saves. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we think about this passage this morning, we pray, Lord, that we are not missing the bread that counts. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here who's never understood Jesus as the bread of life, the one that gives eternal life simply by faith, I pray that this morning they will trust him right now, right where they're sitting. They will trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They'll believe that he died on the cross to pay for their sins, and they will trust him. Lord, that we that know Christ, may we not be so caught up with the temporal that we stop feeding from the bread of life. May we take the time every day to spend time with our Savior. Lord, I pray that we will never take for granted the fact that we have eternal life, that You provide for us daily, and that one day, even if we die physically, there will be the resurrection. Lord, may we see Jesus Christ as the bread of life, the food that saves. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.